Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Sorry about the time, the tardiness. We were having got technical difficulty, had to restart the computer, then I couldn't get in. But anyway, we are here and excited about our Free Flow Friday. And this is Kwajalein, your host. Thank you for calling Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. And here is my husband.
Hello, everybody.
The other host. We're both hosts, and we just thank you all again for, you know, calling in on tonight. We have such an exciting topic, and I am ready to hear what people have to say. You guys, please, let's talk about this. Now, my husband's leaving at 8:30 to go pick my son up, so I'm going to need y'all to please talk so I won't be talking about myself. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. And so everyone can say hello. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
I am here. Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Excited about Free Flow Friday.
All right. Yes, I'm excited. Excited, excited. Well, you know your line will be open.
Yes, ma'am.
Looking forward to hear what you have to say.
Yes,
Ms.
ma'am.
Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am. How is everybody?
Good.
Hey,
I'm ready
hey,
tonight.
Hey, Michelle.
Thank you for calling in tonight, Ms. Brenda, and your line will be open. So we look forward to some of your wisdom on tonight.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Mish, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody. How's
hey,
my classes doing?
We're doing good. How you doing?
I'm good. Glad it's Friday.
Good, good. Well, glad you called in on tonight. We're looking forward to your input on this conversation.
Okay.
And you know your line will be open.
Okay, that works.
All right. I think this is Sister Leandria. Is that 8277?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I am blessed.
Good. Thank you for calling in on tonight for our Free Flow Friday. And, you know, you were the one that prompted us to do this week. So I'm excited. I'm excited about this conversation. That week went by fast. So your line will be open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Faye, are you there?
I'm here. How's everyone doing?
We're mm-hmm. doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. Well, your line will be open tonight, so we look forward to hear what you have to say on our topic, on our Free Flow
okay,
Friday.
Please. All righty.
All right. All right, well, let's get it started before my husband has to go. When do I talk to my kids about sex? Is there a right age to talk with your kids about sex? Is providing your teenager with birth control condoning premarital sex? If you are a Christian, is providing birth control wrong? What should you do if your teenager becomes pregnant or contracts a STD? All right. We ready for all of our listeners. If anyone is streaming right now, please, if you have anything that you would like to say to chime in, please give us a call at 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. Okay. Is there a right age to talk with your kids about sex? Anybody.
This is Missionary Jade. In my opinion, I don't want to say there's like an age, but I know just from my personal experience and just some of the places that I have worked, I started talking to my oldest two. I think Gary was about 10 and Alani was about 7. But she was involved in the conversation only because she was in the car. And at the time, I was working with patients who had HIV/AIDS, and they were between the ages of 18 and 25. So I had started, just prepping them about it, even though it was like, oh, we don't want to hear it. But, you know, in the long run, I do believe it had its effects. Also, I don't condone premarital sex, but I'm also looking at the age, the time, and the music that the children listen to. So, I'd rather have my child safe than sorry. So, yes, I do purchase condoms for my son, you know, and we go to the clinic and get the free ones and things like that, because I just rather have him safe, you know, and just have him protected than him coming home talking about, Mom, you know, something going on down there and, you know, I don't know what to do. So, I mean, even as a Christian, no, I don't condone it, but I know it's going to be done because generations repeat themselves. We did it when our parents didn't want us to. So that's right now, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, thank you, Mish. Thank you. So you say you started with your kids at 10 and 7?
Yes.
So when you
and that
started
was because of the... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No,
go ahead. Just because it was the work environment that I was in, and I was dealing with these 18-year-old males and females who had contracted HIV/AIDS, and, you know, everybody has it in their mind, like, oh, it's not going to happen to me, you know, and it happened to them, and I'm talking to these young kids, because that's exactly what they were, kids who were scared and didn't know what their next life turn was because they had contracted a nearly fatal disease. Now, I mean, there's treatment for it that where it can be controlled, you know, so at the time, just talking to my children, because I just knew it, just the way the world was going, you know, just talking to some of my patients, and they were like, yeah, we were, you know, having sex at 11 and 12, and I'm like, man, you know, like, that's early, you know, so I just wanted to you know, make sure that they knew, and, you know, talking it, and for them, talking to them too, it wasn't that hard. And Lonnie, she was just more like, you know, innocent bystander, but she also absorbed some of the things, because now, you know, she comes and tells me some of the crazy stuff that she sees going on at school. So, you know, to me, there's not an age. I guess it's just how comfortable you feel and where you're working at the time, because, you know, I just wanted my children to be aware and have the knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, just hearing what you said, Mish, back in those days, you know, I say it's a few years back, you know, many parents probably frowned upon talking to their kids about it at that age. And then not only that, they probably thought about the fact that, you know what I'm saying, you know, we're a Christian family, and you know, but even as Christians, we have to make our children aware of what's going on out there in the world, you know, and what they can be submitting or giving themselves access to, you know. But nowadays, as you said before, you said that your kids were 10 and 7. You can't frown upon talking to your kids about that, because they're learning about it as early as 5 and 6, you know, so. And they're not learning it necessarily from the school system itself. They're learning from it from other children their age, you know. And now it's just, if you will, it's an epidemic that has gone into, astronomical numbers, you know, when it comes to how early kids are having sex outside of marriage or premarital sex. I was one that started early too. I started really early. That was just because of, some uncompromising situations. It was my age versus, my babysitter's age, But I started early just because of that. But, that's what I wanted to say. So the lines are still open, ladies. I have all ladies on the phone. And I want to say I'm sorry. I didn't get to say good evening to all of you ladies. But I want to say good evening, ladies, and I pray that your week was great today or this week.
Thank you.
I would like to say something.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I was a teenage mother. And being a teenage mother back then, you know, parents didn't talk to you like we talk to our kids now. And, I mean, you knew what was wrong and you knew what was right, but you still did it. And with my daughter, I talked to her, but I also felt, because she became a teenage mother as well, she got pregnant at 14. And that was because, I say, I wasn't showing any attention to her because I was so focused on trying to find who murdered my son. And I would come backward and forward to Macon every 2 weeks. And that was just my priority, to where I was ignoring her. And I would never forget that Saturday morning. I took her to the doctor because I thought maybe she had a virus. Mm. And when I took her to the doctor, her doctor said, well, Miss Alexander, I would like to give her a pregnancy test as well, because I like to do that to my teenagers. And I'm like, that's fine with me, because, in my mind, I know my child is pregnant. Man, that doctor came back and told me she was pregnant, and y'all can have my room for a few minutes. Y'all can have my room to talk. I said, no, that's okay. Thank you very much. I said, but we finna talk at home. That was a devastating part, but I had also considered, I was never paying her no attention. I had just forgot. I knew she was there, someone that was my baby, that I take care of, make sure a roof is over her head, but I wasn't there for her. And sadly, she couldn't even carry the baby, and she lost it. But that taught me, and a lot of times we don't pay attention to our children because of other circumstances, and they go out and look for attention in other places. And in my case, that was it. So, sometimes we all know it's wrong, and I know how to do better now, but when you know better, you do better. And I come a little bit different with my granddaughters now. Matter of fact, the oldest granddaughter told me today, she said, you know what, Grandmama? They caught two people having sex on the bus. I said, on the bus? She said, yes, ma'am, on the bus. I said, wow. And she said they was members of the Methodist home. And, they kind of bothered me a little bit because I'm trying to understand why are these kids doing this. And I know, concerning the Methodist home and stuff, but I don't know, but I know that she know right from wrong. I'm not saying she's perfect, but I know I do my best at trying to, talk to my girls and give them information that they need.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that, Miss Faye. Thank you also, Miss.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Hello? Okay.
Go ahead.
I guess first I have to go by, the Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. And in this day and age, there's so much that without the knowledge of what's going on and exactly what's happening,
and the diseases that can happen, you can perish. You know, there's so many different diseases out there. So we do have to educate the kids on what is going on. As far as an age, you know, I think every child is different. You know, you have to know your child to know when they're ready to really hear these things, or if they're at the age where they're going to start experimenting. You know your child is, if they're easily influenced. You know, if you have a child that doesn't know how to say no, so they're, you know, they go into peer pressure easily. You know, you know kind of, and most parents do kind of know, whether you think that it's happening now or you think that it will happen before they turn 18. I think you really kind of know that. But as far as when, you know, nobody can ever really, really tell. So I think that we do have to let them know exactly what's going on out here, and then it lets them know that they can talk to you. But if your kids know you're uncomfortable and you can't even bring up the subject, then they're not going to really feel comfortable to come to you with it. You know, you at least want them to feel comfortable and come to you rather than, you know, go to the girl at school and she don't know nothing, and the information she's given her, you know, could end up getting her hurt or him.
Right. Right. I agree with both of you. Does someone else have something to say?
I do.
No. Go ahead.
My girls are grown, and we lived in North Carolina, and we came home, and my daughter started reacting out, and I didn't know what was wrong with her. So I took her to a doctor, and he was talking to me, and he was telling me to tell her something that bad had happened to me. But I had been talking to my kids since they were little, and I had explained to them that I had been molested at a young age. And I told them that my mom always told me, if somebody molests you, you tell me, and, you know, I'll kill them and all this stuff. So that stayed in my mind, so I never told my mom, you know. So I found out both of my daughters had been molested at a young age, and they didn't tell me because they was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that my mom would be in prison and I won't have no mama with me and all of this, you know. So at 12 years old, we came to Macon. And at 11 and 12 years old, my kids told me, say, we don't want to stay in Georgia no more. We want to go back to North Carolina with my daddy. So they were saying because I was working too hard and they didn't hardly see me and all of this. So that was the excuse they used. So about maybe 8 years ago, my oldest daughter called me crying. And I said, what's wrong with you? She said, when she was 12 years old, before she left Macon, the neighbor across the hall from us raped her. And I said, why you didn't tell me? She said, I didn't tell you because I know you would have killed him. And then we wouldn't have no mama. That's why we left him. And it hurt me so bad, you know. And I had talked to my kids, and like, you know, my daughters were, I think, 14 and 15. I went to North Carolina where they were, and I was talking about birth control pills. So my youngest daughter said, oh, we already got birth control pills. She said, you know, they let us have birth control pills without parents consent when you get 14 years old. So, you know, I really don't know nothing about what's going on with young people anymore because I really don't be around them. So, you know, I'm saying this to make a long story short. You all are young. Don't never, ever tell your kids that you're going to do something bad to somebody. If something happened to them, just tell them that if something happened to you, feel free to come to me and talk to me, and we'll work everything out. Because if you put fear in their minds like that, they will never tell you anything. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. You know, Ms. Miller, you're absolutely right. It's important that as parents that we don't overreact, and I tend to do that. I tended to do that, and I used to make that mistake all the time, my oldest. But you know, you have to be at that age. You have to be at that point where when you're talking to your kids and letting them know, hey, please feel free to tell me anything you want. You opening up that ground and that level of communication with your children to where they can trust you. And we, as parents, nowadays we cannot be super surprised about what comes out of our children's mouth because they are exposed to all types of sinful acts, all types of people that commit sinful acts. They're exposed to, you know, every walk of life of sin that you can name of. So even now, I mean, just listening to our callers, you know, right now, that like Ms. Faye, you said that you are a teenager and you were pregnant, and then Ms. Brenda, you said that, you know, you had your daughters young and you was talking to them, and you say you were molested and your daughters were molested. You know, it just really breaks my heart how the times have changed. Times have changed to where, you know, with talking with our kids now are like, yeah, we already know that, opposed to, oh, mom, I didn't know that, or, oh, dad, I didn't know that. You know, and it's all because of what's going on in the school system and how some of the kids in our kids' generation are being raised. You know, they're being exposed to all types of things as well. So it just really breaks my heart to see how the tables have turned to where it used to be, where the parents were the ones that was bringing the news to the kids and shocking the kids. But nowadays, it's the kids bringing the news to the parents and shocking the parents. So our reaction to how they bring whatever they bring to us is really important in order to keep an open line of communication.
Okay. Completely agree with what everybody's saying. I do have a question. I would like to hear opinions on this. When it comes to when we have a child that has been molested or sexually assaulted in some type of way, do you all feel that in those situations that means that we should talk to them earlier about sex?
Absolutely. Because
who's that? Is that
one?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
When something like that happens, they can go one of two ways. They can withdraw completely and be scared to be touched. And when they do get a husband, that can really interfere with what they have. Or they can go the direction of, okay, now this has happened to me, and then they just go out and they become kind of wild when it comes to it, and, you know, they start experimenting more, start doing more things, and it's their way of dealing with it. So once they have something like that happen, they need someone to explain to them, okay, well, exactly what went on and how to handle it, you know, so that they don't go about life damaging themselves after that.
Right. Anybody else? Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that I would agree with that, and I would agree with that because I think it's also important to explain to them at that time the appropriate way that, you know, things should be handled. Like, you know, explain to them the difference between why that was wrong and the appropriate way that you should be touched. And, you know, just let them know that, you know, that it's okay when it's the right way, especially if they're, you know, if they've experienced that.
Right. I agree with all of that.
Me too. I do too.
Yeah. So I think, you know, pretty much a lot of us are in agreement that there's really not a minimum age, I guess, you know, when you feel as though your child is ready, when you notice, you know, there's something going on with your child, or, you know, in situations where, you know, something could have occurred, then that would be the time to open the door. Now, do you all feel like there's an age that is, you know, we should talk to them before this age? Like, do you all feel like we could wait too long to talk to them about sex?
Absolutely, you can wait too long. Absolutely.
Anybody else?
I agree. You can wait too long, and if you don't tell them, somebody else will, or they will go out and find out themselves. They'll figure it out by experimenting, or trying to learn themselves.
Right.
I have something to say.
Go ahead.
I think that we can wait too long to tell our children, because it would be some of those parents, especially, you know, the kids start kindergarten, you know, they've never been to daycare or anything like that. Then all of a sudden the child comes home and says, "Mommy, where did babies come from?" And we're stuck. We're like deer in the headlights. Like, oh, my God, what happened to the innocence of my child? And then before you get an answer to the question, the child says, "I know." And then the child starts giving this explanation of mommy and daddy, and then you're just terrified and you want to homeschool. Like, I'm taking my kid out. So, you know, it's like they try to give, like, the stork information. It's like, well, that's not what Christy said. And so we have to make sure that they – because Christy's mom has already told her in kindergarten where babies actually come from. And so we have to make sure, because, like, somebody like my sweet baby, when she starts school, she'll be the one who retains the knowledge of somebody else come home and ask you, "Mommy." And then she'll be like, "Well, why didn't you tell me when Christy's parents told her?" So we have to look at the maturity of our children and know that, like, my grandson, he's 2. There was a detergent commercial, a laundry detergent commercial, and they were kissing on the commercial, and he tried to kiss his sister. We're like, no, no. So it's all on TV. It's everywhere. It's like everywhere. So, you know, so I'm screaming, "No, don't kiss her like that," you know, because it's everywhere. So we really have to be careful with everything and know that there is, however mature you feel your children are. I was asking my child, my daughters are here, and we're all listening, and I said, "Well, what age did I tell you all?" And my one daughter said, "Mom, I've been knowing about it since I came out." And I'm like, oh, man. But it was something that I felt it was necessary to prevent them from finding out the school, what I call the school way, where they have explicit words or improper words. So I've always been that open and honest parent to say, no, you're going to know the right, you know, even though we have code names for them, but they still knew the right name, and they knew that that was not, you know. So it just, you know, depends. Like I said, this is sad, but I'm going to be honest. I say before your child starts kindergarten, you should tell them. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, Lord. Look, let me ask y'all something. I was so I didn't know how to explain this right. Okay, first of all, okay, when I was pregnant this last time with the baby I just lost, so Jeremiah, y'all know he was really excited. You know, he was really excited.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a baby, you know, all this. And so I lost the baby. And then he was like, "Well, Mom," he started asking questions about how I knew I lost the baby. And, "Well, Mom, how do you find out, you know, you're pregnant?" And he had this class, this little fourth grade, they did something in health last year, you know, where they talked about STDs and, you know, all of that. And so I wasn't expecting him to ask me, "Well, Mom, well, so how do you get pregnant? How do I answer that?" I was like, so my first response was, "Do y'all watch that in school?" And so what should I just send him to his daddy?
I would send him to his dad. Let him handle that one, man.
and Pastor Quasiman, when you send him to his dad, don't forewarn Pastor Kenny he's coming.
Because guess what? I never went back to answer the question.
I hear you.
I mean, I felt so embarrassed.
That's not mine.
Has anyone ever experienced that? Or is it just me? I don't know if it would be different if it was Mariah because she's a girl. I don't know. Has anyone ever experienced that? I don't know.
I have. And I did. I sent them to Daddy, and the girls, Daddy sent to Mommy. But the girls, they're like, oh, that's the be quiet. Yeah.
Say what, Pastor Michelle?
The girl, my kids, I think both of my all four, I'm sitting here thinking, y'all, did any of y'all ever have questions that were never answered? I'm asking my kids. No, okay, they're both saying, again, I'm one of those ones that are just open. So I'm looking at my girls and like, no, Ma, you answer questions we've never asked.
You're very open. I hear you. Yeah, very.
But
I understand that, now. When my kids get the age, I'm not going to be like that. But yeah, you're very open.
Well, you all know that I am. So this is one of my passions. But you know what? I think because I've always said that if we don't tell them, and when the world gets a hold of them and tell them, a lot of times they're not going to ask questions because they're going to want to know more, and they're going to feel like, oh, this is not something I can talk to my mom and dad about. And then they're going to spend the night over somebody's house, and then the next thing you know, hi, Susie, this is Johnny. And then
Right.
So I used to tell my kids it's not funny, but this was so funny back when they was little because they'd be so scared. I used to tell the girls, I said, you kiss a boy, then you die. Y'all remember that?
Oh, my goodness.
Look, Yummy said that I said, you kiss a boy, you die. You hug, you die. You have sex, you die.
Everything, you die. And it is, everything is so much earlier these days. I mean, like Jeremiah's always coming home talking about little girls, always. Which probably part of the reason he can't focus at school, you know, but he's always coming home talking about, you know, these little girls or whatever. And so I don't know, it's just, I don't know. But we do have to tell him. I guess for me, it would have been easier had he asked about somebody else. But I think what, you know, kind of threw me off is because it was concerning me and his dad. I was just like, oh, my gosh. That was just kind of, whew, it just threw me off a little bit. Does anybody else have anything?
Well, I was going to say that I think the young lady that spoke on telling, not having her daughters afraid to come to her because they think she might kill somebody, because it's helping me out. Because I've already said I know I will be in jail. So, I just think that was a big help. You know, to me, that was inspirational to me at a better way to approach talking to my girls. I don't want them to ever think that it's wrong to have sex, but I want them to understand when to choose to have sex. I want them to understand the meaning of that and not just out there doing stuff.
Because
I know they're going to do some things, and I just think they need to know the meaning of what that is, to know that you must love someone, and you must
know that this is where you're committed to be, you know, please wait until you get married. Yeah, I'm going to continue to emphasize that. Now, whether they listen to me or not, but I'm going to continue to emphasize that because that's
right.
what I believe in.
That's right. That's right. And that's all we can do, Faye, is just continue to teach them the right way. You know, like I said last week, my mom taught me the right way. You know, she got saved when I was really young. And so I saw the right way. She taught me the right way. I saw the right way. But I made a decision not to go the right way. It was my own personal
decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My own.
I remember when Daviana was about, I think Daviana was about 6 or 7 years old, and her mom passed when she was 5, and her other grandmother would get her on the weekends. But I noticed something that Daviana, I happened to go in her room, and I just noticed something she was doing, and it made me question, had anybody bothered you? And she said, what you mean bothered me? I said, you know exactly what I mean. I said, have anyone touched you in a way that they weren't supposed to? And I said, and you always understand and know that you can tell me anything. She said, well, Grandma, her uncle touched her. He didn't go inside, but he touched her. And my nana talked to both of us. Okay, now what's going through my mind? I need to call this lady and see why she haven't called me to tell me. I've always felt that you and I would protect her. And you didn't protect my baby. And that's just how I was feeling. So I gave her 24 hours to call me, to tell me what was going on. And if she did not call me within 24 hours, I was going to make sure her son was arrested. And that's what I did. And I actually still gave her leeway because it wasn't 24 hours. I was really trying to wait. I was trying to wait 24 seconds. But I just thought what the right thing to do, I gave her 24 hours to call me and tell me what happened at her home. And I didn't get that call. And, you know, I had to get Dave on the counseling. I had to do several things with her to let her know what happened to her was not her fault. What happened to her was wrong. But she can get through it. And I had to really work with my baby. But it's so much that happens. That's why I say you need to let them know what's right and what's wrong. When someone touches you wrong, they're violating you, and you need to know when you're being violated. But you also need to know about sex and the positive side of it and what it means. So I try to definitely keep them knowledgeable. At least I do the best that I know to do. That's what I can say for me.
Right, and that's all you can do, Faye. That's all, you know, we can do. And as far as, you know, teaching them about when someone, you know, touches them wrong. I know when Jeremiah was little, he was 2, his doctor told me then, you know, to make sure that he knew the right words for his parts. And that's why, you know, my kids, we say penis, vagina, you know, that's just, I know some people, they have other names, but we just, you know, call them by their names and, you know, teach them at a young age about good touch and bad touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there is so much going on out there, and especially with your kids going to daycare, going to school, just all sorts of things. And I used to work with juvenile sex offenders, and just some of the things that went through their minds. A lot of them had been offended against, but just some of the things that went that they would say went through their minds, you know, was just really scary, really scary, you know, before they committed their acts and things like that. So we do have to make sure that we educate our children. So I have another question. If no one has, does anyone have anything to say before I ask this question? Nobody? Okay. All right. Now, before I ask this question, I would like to say that this question came directly from Pastor Michelle. So this is not my fault. Okay, here it is. Should we share our sexual experiences with our children? Like when we lost our virginity, should we do that to help them to understand? That was the question, right, Pastor Michelle?
I think so.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you should. I mean, I would scale it back. I wouldn't just be like,
yeah, we don't want all the details, man. We don't want all that.
I definitely would not be just putting it out there like that. But, I mean, I'm honest with them. I think it's important to be honest with them. And if they ask you, you know, then, yeah, I think you should tell them. I don't know that I would necessarily volunteer the information. But if he asked me, then, yeah, I'd be honest with him about it. And I would just, you know, let him know how I felt about it. You know, if I regretted it, if I didn't regret it, why I may or may not have regretted it. You know, just I think it's important to be honest with them. And so I think if that's something that they're inquisitive about, then, you know, it makes you more relatable, especially if you are, you know, you didn't, you know, wait until you got married or, you know, necessarily didn't do the things that you would hope for them to do. I would, you know, say, hey, you know, these are the choices that I made. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to make those choices, but ultimately you're going to do what it is that you want to do. But I would hope that you would listen to me and learn from my experiences. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Keisha. Anybody else?
I'll answer the question, Pastor Quaglis.
Thank you.
And I asked that because I was curious what people tell their children. Because on one hand, somebody could say, well, you could tell them too much and it might make them want to go out there and do it. And on the other hand, you could say, oh, it'll scare them away from sex, period. Well, this is what I say. You have to make sure that what you're telling your children is age appropriate, number one. Number two, because we are Christian and saved, we're not saying go out and do it. But here's my thing. There should be something, and I'm not saying all parents should know, because sometimes we don't know when our children start having sex. But there should be some telltale signs that would make you talk to your children. Here's what I always say. If I don't say anything, they won't say anything. And so I've had experiences where my children's friends came to talk to me and, please don't tell my mom. And I have to tell them, listen, you're asking for birth control, so I have to tell your mom. I'm not just going to, you know, just give you birth control without telling your mom. And then the days and the time we live in, it's like, how much, you know, do I tell them, well, this is what happened with me and I was scared and don't you do it, you know, and things like that. But my own personal experience, I did tell my children. I did tell them how not, it was not something, you know, I super enjoyed or nothing like that. I gave them the straight rundown of it. And they're kind of like, Ma. But the thing about it is that they remember when their time came around, they remember their do's and their don'ts. Do I want them to have sex before marriage? Absolutely not. Never. You never do. But the truth of the matter is, look at the time that we live in. Do you want to equip them, or do you want to tell them nothing and they could die?
Right. Anybody else? I have to agree that at a certain age, like, you know, now, like when Jeremiah was asking me, I'm like, no, I'm a little embarrassed right now. But I do think at a certain age, you know, we do have to, when we feel like they are ready, I agree, you know, that we should say, hey, you should wait before marriage. I didn't. And like me, you know, I felt guilty about that for a long time after I got married. And, you know, just sharing that, even though I had to forgive myself because it was over, but, you know, just sharing all of that, the consequences of it, you know, and just think, because there are consequences to premarital sex, and, you know, not just pregnancy or STDs, but emotional. There are emotional consequences, you know, that we have, you know, teaching them about soul ties and things like that. So I do agree that that's very important. Anybody else? Okay. So what do we, now I know this sounds like a very, you know, logical question, like, what do you mean, what do? For some of us. However, people handle things differently. So if you are a Christian and you have a child that gets pregnant or gets someone pregnant or they contract the STD, what do we do in those situations? I know, and the first thing I think, well, you get them help. You seek them. If they got an STD, you take them to the doctor. But believe it or not, there are some people who won't do that. So what do you guys say?
If you are a loving parent, a caring parent, you do what you got to do for your child. I can't see a parent knowing that their child is pregnant and or either have an STD, and you're not doing anything to help them. You know, I always say children are a blessing to us. And in knowing that they are a blessing to us, you thank God for that gift, and you take care of what he have given you. You love what he have given you. You do all that you want to do for that gift because of who that gift came from. You got to be mighty low not to see about your baby. And that's
agreed.
My opinion on that.
Anybody else?
My girls were teenagers. We could talk about anything. And I did have them. They were comfortable with talking to me because I was very outgoing with them, and I explained a lot to them because I didn't want them to experience what I went through. So we could talk about anything, and I feel like I was a good mother, and it wasn't nothing I wouldn't do for my children. So, you know, they could come to me and talk to me about anything, and they did, you know. And I would just try to explain to them the right way. And I always wanted my girls to be virgins when they got married, but they weren't. So wasn't nothing I could do about it because that was their choice.
Right. But you just loved them through the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, anybody else? Does anybody else have anything?
I was going to say, I don't have children, but me and my husband, we got a call one day from a hospital, and it was about his younger sister. And they found out that she was pregnant, and it was a ghost worker calling her. Because they were worried about poisoning the baby or whatever because she was pregnant. And so then she wanted to come and with her about all of this. And come to find out, she had gone to the library. She got a book that, you know, and the title said How to Get Pregnant. She followed it step by step, got pregnant first time, and we called the boy's parents, and we went over there and talked to them also. And the mother of the boy, you know, she has two other kids, but she was so excited, you know. She had said she had been talking to them, I guess, for, you know, 6 months or so about how excited she was to have grandkids and everything. And, so it's like you have to be careful who your kids are around as far as your parents. These kids got it in their mind they were going to make this woman happy to give her grandkids and their kids themselves, you know. So, I don't know what's going on in the other household, but at this point, this has happened, and can you all hear who's talking? Hello?
No, I can't hear.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't hear him at all.
There's a lot of static.
I think I'm missing. Sister Leandria, are you there?
Hello? My phone started acting up really bad. Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, we hear you now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. I was saying that my husband's younger sister, she had gotten pregnant, and the social worker from a hospital called us and asked us to come there. We did, and she was 10 at the time. She had gone to the library and gotten a book, and the title of the book was How to Get Pregnant. And this was her first time, and she got pregnant. So she came to stay with us, and we were talking with her, and it was like she was doing this for someone else. So we went over to the boy's house. We talked with the mom, and we finally understood. This woman was so happy. She had been talking to them for the past 6 months about how happy she would be when she finally had grandkids. Well, these two put it in their mind that they would be making his mom happy by giving them grandkids. So it's like you have to be careful who the kids are around, the mind frame of the parents, of who they're around, because some parents feel like, hey, it's okay for you to have sex. Matter of fact, here, oh, you got your this little girl you like coming over here. You guys go in this room. We'll be upstairs. We won't bother you. You know, things like that. Other parents will set these type of things up. So you have to know
That's
who
true.
They are with and really know
That's
the
true.
Family. But at the point when they're pregnant, it's like, okay, now you have to deal with it. And, you know, it's happened at this point. So it's like, okay, God, guide me, in, you know, of what I'm supposed to do. But at this point, they're pregnant.
Right. Wow, she was 10. That's really scary. How old was the little boy?
11.
Oh my God, this is a baby. Mm. And, you know, and that really makes you think about how people. I'm sorry, I have an echo, y'all. Okay, can you hear me now? Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
It really just makes you wonder about how people think. For her to know that these were babies. My son is 10, going to fifth grade, and now don't get me wrong. I'm excited about being a grandmother one day because I didn't have a grandmother in my life, but not now. You know, that's something that I look forward to, like some years from now. But for
exactly.
her to set that up and to, you know, to condone that, it's like, well, where's her mind? That to me is just,
that's scary, crazy, you know, just so many, just that's just on a whole nother level. And the fact that, you know, she could go to the library and find out step by step how to get pregnant, and it works. And she's 10. You know, her body's already, she's already got a cycle and everything, and she's 10. You know, it just reinforces even more that this is something that we do need to discuss, you know, with our kids. And I thank you for sharing that with me, because, like I said, my son is 10, and so, yeah, I'm going to have Kenny to go back and answer that question that he talked, that he asked me. Yeah.
Go ahead. Here recently, there was a young girl at the age of 11 that was pregnant, and she had given birth to the baby. And whoever this little boy is that she say was the father, she was so afraid of her mom and what her mom had told her, she kept it quiet and kept lying for her mother. And actually, the person that done that to her, that fathered that child, was the mother's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And now the state has taken those children from her. And I do believe he's in jail. But he molested that 11-year-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother knew who did it. But I guess in her mind, just to have a man in her life. And, you know, you got some women, they just want a man. They don't care what the consequences are.
Mm-mm.
So I can imagine how you guys felt at, you know, at 11 years old, because I was a 14-year-old mother. And Lord knows, I had said in my mind, I was going to graduate with my class. I wasn't going to have nothing else to do with boys until I was grown, on my own career, in my own house, and I was married. And that's just how I happened. But young people don't think like we did back then. They don't have any concept. They just get in their minds that I like him and he's going to be with me for the rest of my life, and that's just not so.
Right.
And then you got the mothers that just want men in their lives, and you just bring anybody around your child. You can't do that.
That's right.
And we tell them the consequences. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
It's still going on. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know what's going on. I got it. Okay. All right. Can you all hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yes.
Still an echo. But while I'm trying to get my phone together, does anybody have anything else to say?
You know, I wanted to say that we have to.
Allow to
watch our kids, and even in church, you know, they could be a member of the church.
And we allow our kids to go through the night, and we don't know what's going on. We recently have found out that one of the women in church, they have been kind of run out of the church, like young children.
Well, she was still allowing the girls at the church to come to the night.
night with her daughter and putting everyone else's daughters at jeopardy. You know, so yeah.
I even hear the story. Hello?
Yeah. So, does anyone have their phone on the on speaker?
I don't know if it's me just being in the car. Change it though.
Yeah. Mine is always on speaker though, so I don't think it's my phone, because every time I talk, my phone is on speaker.
Okay. Is it better?
That's better. Okay, that's better.
It is better.
Okay, then it might have been me, because I'm in on the move, as always.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Go ahead, man. Sister Leandra, did you finish what you were saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did anybody else have anything? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes these phones be acting up, but I don't know what I was going to say. Just talking about, you know, how important it is, and I do want to say that everyone is right. Once, you know, your child is pregnant or has gotten someone pregnant, then that's what it is. It's not right to, you know, shun them or you know, whatever, or treat them differently, you know, treat them wrong, or the act has already been done. It's finished. The baby's there. Saved or not, you know, life is only given by God, and so sometimes we see parents, or we hear of parents, you know, they get very upset, you know, with their kids, and they cut them off, and sometimes they take them out of the wheel and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, I personally just don't agree with all that. I do understand, you know, teaching them responsibility, having them to take care of their babies, you know, all of that. But we also have to love them through the process. We truly, truly do. So do you all feel as though it's a difference when you have a daughter that becomes pregnant opposed to a son that gets someone pregnant?
Yes, there's a big difference.
Go ahead, elaborate.
Because we as women know the women always take care of the baby. So if your daughter is pregnant in home, yes, it is kind of a joint effort where the son, you know, yes, they're going to be in their child's lives, hopefully, you know what I mean, because you could say it till the cows come home, but it's ultimately up to them. But they could go on, you know, they go on about themselves. You know what I mean? Because in my opinion, you know, the woman has the baby. The woman has been there, you know, with the baby for nine months. So we have the baby. We're taking care of the baby. You know, we do get those light breaks, you know, if they're not married and together, you know, where the boy will live in a different house, okay, the baby will go over there for a couple of days or something, but still it's not the same. The woman usually does take care of the baby 90% of the time. You only have them rare occasions where, you know, men have their children. So
right.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference. It just seems like to me men get off scot-free.
I will have to disagree with that. I will agree with some of what you're saying, but I'm also have to disagree with that because I don't really feel like it's a difference. I feel like if my
15-year-old child gets another 15-year-old girl pregnant, he's going to be equally as responsible for that baby as she is. He's going to be at all the doctor's appointments. He's going to be up in the middle of the night just like she is up. He's going to be equally as responsible for that child as she is.
Okay, so now you're saying that at 15, parents are going to pitch in and basically put them together in a house. Because
no.
Then, like, I don't understand what you're saying. So your 15-year-old son is now going to go live at the girl's house for them to be up all night, or, you know what I mean, that responsibility, or, like, I need you to explain that. How is that going to work?
I don't think he has to be there to be equally as responsible. I mean, I feel like if she has the baby for a few days and he can keep the baby for a few days, I mean, they can alternate and he can still be equally as responsible. He can still be responsible for going to every appointment with the baby. I feel like the time could be split equally.
Ma'am, that's not going to happen.
I have something to say. I don't think that. Yeah.
I have something to say about it. I am a parent of a son who's had 4 children and now having a daughter pregnant. This is what I feel about it. When my son and his girlfriend broke up, it was devastating because my grandson was living with me, and she took my grandson, and she kept him for a week or so without me seeing him. Now, mind you, I was there at birth, raised him. I'm the one providing everything. And so I feel that if it's your daughter that gets pregnant, that's your daughter. That's your daughter. So you know your daughter is going to always be in your life. But for a son, if that baby's mother decides, well, I don't want nothing to do with you, and I don't want nothing to do with your family, they have that option to take those children, and the only way you can fight, the only way you can fight is going to court. So when it's so on that aspect, because I've been there, and I can tell you, it's not a difference as far as you loving your grandchildren, but it is different as far as if that girl decides, you know, hey, I don't want to be bothered. If that's her choice, there is nothing that you can do unless you're going to fight for grandparents' rights. So it is different. And my son was a teenage father, and we did do everything we thought that we needed to do as grandparents and then some. Like her parents didn't have any responsibility at all, none whatsoever. And my grandchild was still taken away from me. And so now I have the privilege of having my 3 grandchildren live with me. That's my son's other baby's mother. And she doesn't do that, doesn't think like that. But if she did, there'd be nothing that I could do. But my daughter, that's mine. That's my blood. You're going to always be mine. There's no way that you can just leave and not come back. Because that's just how we have raised our children. So it is totally different. You always live in that fear of if they stop communicating, what does that mean for you as the grandparent? As far as, you know, your son having children.
And that don't even mean that man is not going to be a father to that child and take on his responsibilities. But when it's a girl, you know, it's just totally different. That baby got to come home with her. And as this lady just said, she even raised her grandbaby in her house. But when a choice was made that mother wanted to take that baby, she did that. So I just totally agree. There's not an equal in that when you're a teenage mother. I just don't feel that. Because When I had my son, my dad was up all night, told my mom I was in labor and we need to get to the hospital. And it was my mom and it was my dad there. And once my son was born, they called him and let him know that I had a baby. And I think he probably visited the hospital for that 7 days I was in there, probably 3. But when it came time for us to come home, I would go over there every Sunday to his house to take the baby. Once a week, and that was it. So I just think it's so different. And if I did have a son, yes, I would put him
on lockdown with that responsibility, because if you was man enough to make a baby, you man enough to take care of it. But whenever she decides what she want to do, and we as females, we're just born like that. We just take care of what's ours. And you guys know how it go with men. And I'm not saying all men, but the majority of, you know, that mom is always the responsible one. Although you do have some fathers that's playing that role. I don't want to leave that and to think I'm being biased here.
I agree with that. Right. It is. Even in the home, baby, and I'm not trying to be offensive or anything, but even when you're married, the mother does, for the most, not all the time, you know, because we do have, you know, cases where it is the father and, you know, mama's in the street and stuff. But, you know, a lot of the times it is the mother that is the primary caretaker of the children, whether she's in the home or not. Whether she's working or not. I'm sorry, babe, I'm not trying to be offensive, but that's for real. It is. My husband looking at me like I'm crazy. But I completely understand what everybody is saying, and Keisha, I think I understand. You're saying if this happened to your son, you're going to make him be involved. You know, you're going to make him go to the doctor's appointment. You're not going to give him that out if he's 15 years old. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That he's, you know, you are going to make sure as a parent that he's there, and we know it changes when your son is grown. You know, it's just, there's so much you can't really force them to do. There's just some things you just can't force them to do. But then I also agree with what everybody else is saying, and I understand what they're saying also, because, you know, the daughter, the girlfriend, wife, or whatever, you know, we see it over and over again where they do pick up and they take the baby.
Right, but the question was, and I just want to make sure I completely heard the question. You asked if you were asking about younger kids, correct? If they got someone else pregnant.
Yeah, we were talking about teenagers. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Then I think I heard the question. I thought the question was, as a, you know, the grandparents, is it different from your son having a child than your daughter having a child?
That was the question. That was the question, but I was actually referring to teenagers because that's what we were talking about.
Right, the son versus the daughter.
But I still think what everybody said, I still think it applies. That's just me.
No, it does. I was just making sure that I didn't answer the wrong question.
No, I think it was just, you know, everyone has their different views, and, you know, that's the purpose of Free Flow Friday. So I can see where everyone is coming, you know, I can see all aspects as far as that is concerned. But yeah, when you are the woman, you are the female, I'm sorry, the female, you're carrying the baby, it is more on the female's family. However, I also see, you know, what Keisha's saying. She's saying if this happens to my son, it's what he decides to do as a teenager, then I'm going to make sure that he takes his responsibility as well. So,
and that is just, it's, you know, every parent taking the, you know, on some of the responsibility of their child. Because the 15-year-old got to get to the appointment.
Right.
That means you got to take off work, get the 15-year-old to the appointment, make
right.
everybody go, you know, and I mean, everybody just got to do what they got to do, you know. So I disagree with the whole entire thing. You just need to have conversations with your kids, some that, you know, if you hope that they don't do it, but if you do, you got to wrap it up. You don't want no kids, because trust and believe, look at us, we struggling, you know, to make sure you got everything that you need. So you don't want that until you are well accomplished in life.
Right. And hopefully if it does happen, even though we see this all the time, you know, we know with teenagers, but hopefully if it does happen, then the parents can come together, because we are, you know, you're dealing with two kids. So hopefully the parents can come together. But does that happen all the time? It just doesn't.
No.
So we just have to be realistic about that too. And sometimes you have some cases where the teenage girl may want, she may want the dad involved, but her parents may not, or his parents may not.
Right.
So there's so many other things that come along with that, you know, when you're talking about teenage pregnancies and things like that.
You know, that was the case with us, with my husband's sister, where, of course, they, you know, his mom kind of planned everything and kind of did all this and put it into action. But my husband said, no, they could not be around, be involved. You know, he was so angry. His 10-year-old sister's pregnant. He was not having it. You know, of course, they wanted to be around. They wanted to go to doctor appointment. And he said no. So they weren't allowed to come and do it. You know, of course, his sister was wanting this too. But he said no. So we paid for everything. We made sure she got the doctor appointment. You know, she was on our insurance. It was covered by that. You know, it was me and my husband going up in the middle of the night, you know, when different things were going on and she had to go to the emergency room or she was sick or at school and she got sick because he made sure she stayed in school. You know, different things like that. It was on us. Mm-hmm. So why did your husband cut them out, especially when they were willing to help? Because he was mad?
Because they were crazy.
I mean, I understand being upset, but, like, after a while, did he calm down? Did he let the baby see his father?
When she was in the hospital actually having the baby, he allowed her to call and tell them, okay, yeah, that she was in labor. So they did come there and, and everybody tried to, I think, be as peaceful as possible. And then that was kind of when things kind of hit the fan to where the mom was like, okay, well, how about we take the baby on some such day, you know, every other day or this day or whatever, and went to doing that. And the girl's like, well, I'm not going to be separated from my baby. And he's like, okay, well, it's my baby too. And then the woman said, well, she can come and spend the night. And we're like, okay, no, not happening. Nobody spend the night at anybody's house. You know, none of the kids, we wouldn't allow that. So then it was a huge thing of, okay, letting this newborn go over here. She didn't want to be away from her baby. So it kind of pushed her away from him, of course, because he's saying, well, then give me my baby or let me keep my baby overnight. And she's saying this is a newborn. It shouldn't be away from, you know, his mother. So, it was a huge ordeal.
And I think in that situation, I can understand that because, I do understand that the baby was his, you know, was the father's, and so I understand that he had rights to the baby. I understand it. However, just all of that, these people just sound like they're mentally unstable to me, especially that mother, you know, to plan for a 10-year-old and 11-year-old to have a baby and you're excited. I don't know. I mean, I just...
Well,
no.
I'm just shocked that somebody didn't file, like, child abuse charges on her.
On her?
Yeah, on her mother. Because it was child abuse because she kind of brainwashed these kids into thinking having a baby was cool at this particular time. So, yeah, is child abuse.
It is, yeah.
So did anybody file charges on her?
No, we did not. That was a thought of to do that until, you know, they were waiting. They wanted to, when we talked to the police, they said, of course, said you have to wait till the baby's born to do paternity. And then that
right.
was for sure to say yes or no.
and then they did do the paternity, and it kind of, the situation kind of redeemed it. I mean, it kind of solved itself within the conflict, because when the mother couldn't get the resolution that she wanted, what she did was is basically kind of did the same thing with her son and another girl, and he got another girl pregnant, and the girl moved in with them, and, you know, well, she had her grandchild then, and then they really didn't want anything to do with the little boy now, you know. They had
Oh, my gosh. They just had all kinds of babies. She should have just had another baby. That's what she should have done.
She was
being a mental
institution.
Right, right. So, I mean, like I said, I understand the rights. It's just my opinion. This isn't right, wrong, or indifferent. So, I mean, I know some people might disagree with me, and I'm fine with that. I understand that the baby's daddy had rights to the baby. I understand all that. But it definitely would have had to be court ordered, because I can definitely see your husband being that upset. I mean, that's just, oh, my goodness. That's just on another level to me. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me. I don't think I would have wanted anything from him either.
She wanted her son to grow up to be a rapper, so when my husband said, okay, show me that you're going to be a father, show me that you can step up, you know, you need to get a job, he told him, you know, you do this for me, and, you know, we can figure out something. And, well, his mom said he was going to be a rapper, and he needed to stay in school. And, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
She could go out of school and do whatever, you know, pregnant teens have to do, but he had to stay in school, you know. And that made my husband even more mad, because, okay, now we're worried about his education, but hers. So, and it is hard when you're dealing with teen kids. They were preteens. You're dealing with kids trying to be in a grown-up situation, but yet you still rely on your caregivers to take care of you and to take care of your baby, because any job you get, you can only work by our state. You are only allowed during the week to work. I think it was 5 hours a week, and on weekends you could work a few more hours. So there was nothing they could ever really do to take care of this child.
Hmm. That's a sad, sad situation.
Very sad.
Okay, does anybody have anything else before we get ready to end? This was a very good topic. I thank everybody for taking part. Anybody have anything? Nobody? Okay, well, thank you all for calling in on tonight. Again, thank you for all of your input. It's a very, very good topic. Please do, you know, share the link with anyone you think would, you know, benefit from it. And we hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You guys as well. Have a good night. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good night.
You also, Pastor. Good night.
Good night.